audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
I'm not hearing Adam, but I'm hearing myself.
I'm hearing me.
There you go.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Sarah Rue is our guest tonight from Less Than Perfect, ABC, Tuesday nights, 9:30. Second successful season.
Yay!
What's happening?
Not much. I'd like to give a shout out to all my Less Than Perfect crew. Hi, guys. They're all listening. They're all really excited that I'm on.
Andy Dick was on here last week, I believe. Representing the Less Than Perfect crew.
Yeah, he's a good representation.
Really?
No.
Okay. He's serious.
That's a lie.
I'm amazed. Andy is, he's a wildly effed up guy who's also wildly lovable at the same time.
And loving. You have
and
to give
loving.
Him credit. He's really sweet.
And loving and takes abuse better than anyone I know and dishes it out only to his own band, really. And,
or his assistants.
And his assistants. Yeah. But is a talented guy, and I believe that's the reason he continues to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's so talented. You can give him any line, and he makes it funny. It's pretty amazing.
He was in here just last week. He speaks highly of you, by the way.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I'm glad. Well, he knew I was coming in and that I'd kick his ass if he said anything new.
Andy, who was molested as well, yes?
Yes.
But not by the same neighbor?
By Dr. Drew.
See, he made that line funny.
Aw. Means Adam's platitudes funny. That's right.
So before we get into Sarah Rue, I want to say I've been talking about this for a long time, which is my invention for an automobile. It's called the seat gutter, I've realized, and what spawns the conversation is I lost my ID tag, which I set. I don't know. I use my passenger seat as a sort of
briefcase.
Well, it's not a briefcase because I don't put stuff in it. I put stuff on it. It's really what a counter would be on a ship, but then you hit rough waters and the stuff starts sliding all over the place and inevitably slides to the door side, then slides down and finds its way in between the sort of mechanical mechanisms and the door and all that kind of stuff. And you're not sure if it's in there, number one. And then number two, if it is, you can't really get to it because you drag your hand along the rails of the seat and there's little motors and devices and everything. My plan for the seat gutter system is everything that falls into that no man's land, that crevice in between the door, the stick shift and the seat edge, ends up in a hopper in the trunk.
Oh, change, all the way back.
Cell phones.
So we can magnetize it.
It's a gutter system, Drew.
It's like the Roman aqueduct.
That's right. Okay. It ends up, and then all that stuff doesn't matter what happened. I mean, IDs and jewelry, cell phones, garage clickers, it all just...
Right. Just go to the trunk and get it.
And here's the thing. If it's not in the hopper, it's not in the car. That's what I'm saying. See, that's my thing, because there's always that little bit of doubt. Yeah. Maybe it's wedged under there. I can't quite tell. I'm going to feel around. I don't feel anything. On the other hand, I'm feeling for something the size of a credit card, so maybe I'm not going to find it, and this ends down. And which is fine. Okay, it's not in the hopper. It's time to head into the house and start looking.
That's right.
With the car, there's always the possibility that maybe under the floor mat or something.
Yeah. Right.
All right, so that's my plan. And wait till I show you what I did with my cell phone tonight, by the way. This is a whole nother thing. Is I want to get into telling people how to live their life and what to do.
You want to get into
that?
And
eventually, they're all going to wear gray jumpsuits. And I'm going to have this walk
red
I
star
have.
In their
it's
belly.
Called a goose step. Anyway, I'll show it to you later.
So look at the kosher wine that Sarah brought you.
Yes.
This is Rosh Hashanah. You knew of your temple yesterday, of course.
Of course.
You had your services. You did really well.
Well, everyone assumes I'm Jewish. I'll tell you why people think I'm Jewish. The sense of humor, the nappy hair, the big eyebrows.
The oy vey all the time.
Yeah, knowing about the Jewish culture.
No, but you're
being a little bit hairy.
Little whiny.
And being a little whiny, a lot whiny, and a little bit goofy. Mm. Just a little bit.
Right.
Just a little bit goofy.
Yeah, sure.
I recognize that I'm perceived as a little bit
slightly goofy.
Slightly goofy. I'm not a goofy guy at all.
No, it's
really?
True.
I'm ungoofy.
Yeah.
Okay.
In my spare time, I box and build houses.
Yeah.
Like the opposite of goofy.
So that's manly.
Manly, but everyone's always
I actually
a little goofy,
didn't
aren't
assume
you
were Jewish. It was more like if you ever wanted to try Judaism, I was thinking this would be a good way in. Like it's an ease yourself
in
with
this guy,
wine.
Adam, or sleeping pill is perfect.
Yeah,
you'll
I'll
lead him
drink
into anything
this.
With that.
Good to know.
I'll drink this tonight. Now, what's the difference? This is a nice Herzog Merlot we're going to drink. I'm going to drink tonight, but I've had Manischewitz. I don't like it.
That's not good.
That's not good.
No,
it's too
no
sweet.
One likes Manischewitz. There's not a Jew in the world who enjoys Manischewitz, let me tell you.
It's the Boone's Farm of Jew wine.
Yes.
It says right on the label.
But, I mean, it is the Strawberry Hill of Judaism.
Right, it's like drink up teen Jews, right? It's good. It's sort of sweet. Like, you could drink Manischewitz as a 13-year-old. It goes down easily.
Do you think
all the Hasids on La Brea carry their Manischewitz, like, in a paper bag?
Yeah.
Drink it out of that? Like, that's how they get their kicks?
Yeah, the millions and millions of homeless Jews we have out here in Los Angeles. It's a big problem.
It really is.
You can barely back out of the driveway without clipping a few. Jews are all... No, we can't judge, though. All cultures are the same. The Jews are just as homeless as any other culture.
That's
yes?
true. Absolutely.
We cannot judge.
No.
All right, so Sarah, now what... I guess you're the kind of person that people root for.
What does that mean?
Well, it sounds good and bad, but
see,
what I'm saying is...
You know,
what's
interesting is you've said you're not goofy and everyone thinks you're goofy. I am not an underdog.
Yeah, I think, but...
But you think I am.
Well, here's the thing. It's like my goofball label. You have no... You have no vote in what you're labeled by
that's
society.
True. Which is fine, because
we're calling me a goofball, we're calling you an underdog.
Fine, that's
you may
okay.
not feel like that, I may not feel like that, but that's what we are because that's what society has labeled
us. It's better to come in second but have everybody rooting for you. So I'll take that label. That's okay.
Right. Your background is theater, film.
Yeah, theater,
but more theater?
No, actually more film and television. I started when I was 9 and kind of fell into it. My mom was an actress. My dad was a stage manager. I met an agent at a party in New York who thought I was kind of funny looking and sent me on one audition, and I got it.
What was it?
It was a movie called Rocket Gibraltar. With Burt Lancaster played my grandfather and Kevin Spacey played my father.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
It's a good kids movie. We give our grandfather a Viking funeral.
Yeah. What year was that?
That was 1987.
Wow.
And I got a check the other day, a residual check for 67 cents.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing. I'm going to frame it.
I know, they really don't have to send. I think they send those 67-cent ones out, and then they keep the $10,000 ones. But we think, hey, if these guys are sending out checks for 67, that they must be thorough and honest. You never, as long as you're getting those checks for 11 cents, 18 cents, $1.22, you'll never check up on that person. Meanwhile, they're just hoarding the $8,000 ones. And it really, it's such a bizarre science, because I'm sure, I talked to a friend of mine the other day, got like $8,500 in the mail and had been getting residuals for like $14, $26. All of a sudden, it's like $8,000.
Wow.
And he has no idea why. It's not a mistake. That's just how it works.
Yeah, you don't know what it's for or when it's coming. It's a nice surprise when it's more than 67 cents.
That was Bobcat for some police academy.
No, right? It wasn't. No, it was a friend of mine who wrote the Facts of Life TV movie.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Adriana?
Wow. Uh-huh.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I'm having a problem. I just got married last week, and whenever my husband and I have sex, I tend to urinate a little bit when I come, and it's really bothering me. It doesn't bother him. He doesn't really care, but it really bothers me, and it's got to the point where I don't even want to have sex anymore.
Why does it trouble you? Why is it so disturbing to you?
Just because it's gross. It's gross. And actually, I had a baby 9 months ago, and this is the first time I've had sex since then. So I think that probably has something to do with it, but still, it's really a big, huge hang-up to me.
Is this intercourse or oral sex?
It's with intercourse. He likes to go down on me, but I won't let him because I don't want to like pee in his mouth or anything. So
wow,
yeah.
Right, is there any other? Do you have any other problems other than this? And look, Drew always tries to pass that stuff off with like, oh, you know, it's natural. You shouldn't be ashamed of anything.
No, not only that, I think guys like it.
Well,
yeah,
I think they like it.
They like seeing some evidence of what they've accomplished.
Yeah, but let me say this. It's like I like a nice malt, but if I had to drink one every morning after a while, I'd want a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So urine in the mouth, be good for the first 1,500, maybe 2,000
times. Between
perhaps.
You want coffee.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, and it's nice to have some manifestation of the orgasm.
Your work, yeah.
But I think it would get old, but you're not peeing in his mouth, you're whizzing on him, right?
No, it's just like a little bit. It's not like...
Yeah, right. Yeah. Listen, you're troubled by that. It doesn't bother him, but I guarantee you what does bother him is you're not having sex with him. That will bother him a great deal.
We are definitely having sex. That's actually another question I had, because we're like having sex 3 to 4 times a day.
I'm kind of
wondering if that's a little much.
Well, yes. They've only been married a week.
Yeah, but is it your child with him?
No.
How long have you known him? It's my child.
It's not his.
How long have you known him?
Actually, I called in about a month ago about the guy I met on the internet, and we ended up getting married.
Oh, boy.
Within a month?
Yeah, within a month?
We've known each other 4 months.
Oh, all right. What did we tell you? We told you probably not to marry the guy, right?
You told me to wait till the first of the year to even get engaged, but yeah, we couldn't wait.
Yeah. Thanks for heeding that advice.
Now you're peeing on the
nobody listens.
I'm sorry. I'm the one that named my child after you, Dr. Drew.
Oh, that's right. Now yes. I like her a lot.
I'm still kind of on the fence. So what's the child's name? Drew.
His name's
Andrew, as I remember.
Andrew.
You didn't get it quite right.
That's not Drew.
See, I didn't know when I named him that.
I know,
don't tell him that.
But Drew, Drew's not short for Andrew.
It sometimes is.
Really?
Sometimes.
I thought Andy's short for Andrew.
Usually Andy, yeah.
Usually. All right, look. Start listening to us, would you?
Okay.
Okay. Have sex as much as you're comfortable having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get pregnant again.
No.
How are you avoiding that?
I'm going to be on the pill. I have an appointment with Planned Parenthood this month.
This month. You'll have sex 183 times before now.
Are you breastfeeding?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, that will decrease the risk of pregnancy anyway.
And look, I think everybody should be as freaked out about their stuff as someone is freaked out by their stuff.
Right. But women, very much, it's all about them. I don't feel sexy. I wear, you know, fistfuls of chiffon because it makes me feel good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a woman's thing. I'm fat, therefore we can't have sex.
Right, right. Meanwhile, the guy doesn't care.
The guy, or not doesn't care.
Or maybe into it.
Yeah, he's fine. He's great, you know.
Yeah, that is, and I don't know, do women feel it?
Did we make
women feel that way? Did society force women into feeling that way?
Well, of course. I mean, that can be. Of course, you open any magazine.
Yeah, but your partner is completely, not just okay, but into you, however you are.
Well, hopefully.
If it's not up to your standard, then you shut him out.
Oh, I think that's sexist. I think that you can't make a generalization like that.
That happens a lot.
Really?
And guys never do that.
Oh, but guys, it's all about like penis size and that thing, and women don't have that to worry about. So this is the equivalent to that, don't you think?
Interesting point.
Yeah.
Like men are always worried they're too small, too big.
Yep. But those guys, yes.
Well, rarely
sometimes
on the
they
too
are
big,
too, they are too big. Yeah. No,
I'm going to say something, and then I thought it would sound too defensive if I.
So, what about the too big?
Yeah. But listen. Yeah. Listen. Hey, I think there's a handful of guys. Here's what I think. I think the penis size thing is kind of like airport security, which is there's a handful of jackasses that are going to ruin it for everybody.
But the majority of
people who are getting on planes aren't intending to blow them up.
Right.
But one out of every million may be thinking about it, and therefore we're all screwed. This is the thing with the guys and the penises. Most guys I know, not obsessed with penis size. Rarely discussed unless it's in a joking fashion.
Right.
There's the 1% that seem preoccupied and obsessed with their penis size, and then they sort of taint.
They ruin
they crap
it for
in the
everyone.
Pool.
But also,
now we all got to get.
But
out
also,
of the pool.
That 1% without again not being sexist, we can say something specific about that 1% terribly preoccupied with very low self-esteem.
Yes.
The penis becomes a symbol of their esteem, and they preoccupy about it as opposed to worrying about building their esteem by more appropriate means.
Yeah.
Well, I think that she should embrace the peeing.
Yes.
You know what I'm right? Don't you
sure.
think?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Embrace it. Sure.
Embrace it. Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah.
Let's see. Joe, you're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Whenever I was younger, I was molested by my grandpa.
But only when you were younger.
Well, it lasted up until I was about 8 years old with my grandpa. And whenever I was about 7, it started.
Hold on a second. Whoa, I'm already confused. You had an uncle?
Yeah.
And how old were you when the uncle did his thing?
He started in, and his husband, he's gay.
And how old were you when that all started?
About 7.
And then you said your grandfather also did something to you?
Do what?
Did he not say that your grandfather also did something
to you? I think he started by saying his grandfather.
Yeah, my grandfather started.
Right.
And, I mean, that he probably started with me about whenever I was about 3.
Whenever.
Right.
And stopped probably whenever I was about 8.
Whatever.
And
right.
And my uncle and his husband started whenever I was about 7.
Remember, this uncle also had that same father.
Yes.
To work on him.
Right. All right.
Probably so. Yes. And they
Well, whenever he was 3 or 4, he probably got molested.
Probably.
By his father, probably.
Right. Whenever.
whenever.
Father was in his 40s. All right. So anyway, Joe, that's horrible.
Well, I've come to realize that I'm bisexual. I realized that probably whenever I was about 14 or 15.
Come here, right. Give me
right.
a hug. Yeah.
So right. I'm wondering, is that because I was molested, or would I be feeling this way if I wasn't molested?
Probably not. Probably not.
We
deal with this all the time.
But it's academic.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's not something that it's a wiring. It's a mechanism that gets put in place, and it really can't be undone. At least I'm not aware of anyone that routinely can do that.
Yeah. Again, the only recognized method for getting rid of homosexuality or bisexuality is that Bible where you put the penis in the Bible.
Snap it shut.
Slam it shut. Like on set, Sarah, when you guys are slating a scene. It's that same thing, but it's...
We now could just refer them to Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and that might traumatize them.
All right, so I don't know if Joe's line got screwed up or whatever, but Joe needs therapy.
Yeah, the bigger thing, Joe,
is therapy and more therapy.
The horrible trauma that you went through, the disturbed family system that you came from, starting back with Grandpa, and what your sexual identity is far, far less of an issue. What more needs to be dealt with is unraveling the residual effects of that traumatic experience.
Yes.
And therapy will do that, teach you to sort of growth in spite of all that. And you may end up, you know, gay, you may end up straight, whatever, but don't worry about that. That's the least of the issues that needs to be sorted out.
Here's my plan when I'm in charge, Sarah.
Yeah.
I build a time machine. And I go back in time and I destroy certain generations. I take them down. I wipe them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you know, when there's mad cow disease, they have to take a herd, and they just have to take, and they have to incinerate it.
Yeah.
That's what we would do to Joe's family. And Joe would never know because he'd never be born. I have to go back and take his grandfather out.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would go back in time and take out families that, see, because the grandfather has a kid, he molested, he has Joe. Joe gets molested, everything gets spread out and becomes this upside down pyramid of S. Mm-hmm. Starting with the grandpa and just the grandpa,
probably
I'm sure.
Before. Like you have to.
Well, that's why I have
the entire family.
That's why I have a dial. I set it to different dates.
And check it out.
I always like that part on the time machine where they actually have to just set it January 19. If you did have a time machine, would you just physically have a calendar on it? They would just click it 1949 January. Click, click, click. Like it really? It would just be like a chronograph. Yeah. It would just click, click. You'd snap it into place, and that's how it would know where to go. It seemed like it'd be more involved than that.
Seems like it.
It's just me.
Maybe more high tech.
Yeah.
He needs to tell his mom or whoever. Don't you think? Like maybe have
He's
a talk
19.
With the rest of his family
oh,
about
boy.
This.
But imagine
the depth of the pathology there.
What that family is like.
He needs to get a ombudsman. He needs somebody to represent him. A help.
Yeah.
A therapist.
Aww.
And though.
Hang in there, Joe.
Don't crank out any kids and don't screw with anybody yourself.
Right.
And
fix yourself first.
It's one of the reasons I wrote my book. I wrote about trauma survivors and I deal with them all the time. And if you're interested in sort of the spectrum of what can happen. And what you could go through in treatment or what needs to be done for you. My book, Cracked, gets into all that. So,
Sarah Rue in studio tonight. Thank you, by the way.
Oh, and,
I wish that were the case. Be nice.
I realize I went out to dinner last night with my lovely wife to a nice restaurant, and there was a guy sitting in a booth next to us. And I put my finger on what it takes to be a blowhard. Like, I've always thought about the criteria for blowhard, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, it's hard to be, for instance, blowhards are white guys. For the most part, it's good to be a white guy to be a blowhard. Yeah. It's hard to be like a skinny black guy and be a blowhard. You're a trash talker. You may be other things, but you're not a blowhard.
You expect bloated and plethora.
Yeah, blowhard. You got to have a gut. Yeah. You got to have a gut on you. You have to be now. And here's the other thing too. You can't be an 80-year-old blowhard.
40.
You got no. Well, there's a range.
40 to 60.
Yeah. Prime is probably 53.
Best?
Prime. And you can bring, you can get into the 60s, early 60s blowhardness.
I think sleep apnea is a requisite.
Yes, so you got to snore. You got to have some jowls. It's
I
good,
would
but
think sweating would be.
Sweat's good.
Don't you think?
But it's not all just about being heavy set or thick jowled or anything. You have to speak with authority on almost every topic,
and
even if you don't, and say nothing. and here's something that I was missing, that I'd always miss. We always knew you had to be heavy, you had to be white, you had to have a thinning hair and attempt to do something weird with it, like diet or comb it over or something, in the mid-50s and say nothing about everything constantly. But the repetition, that's the part I was missing out on. There was a guy who was, the physical bill, fit it like a T, just what we're talking about. Sitting right behind me, my wife, and he had a few cocktails. He was speaking very loudly.
Was he with a woman or was he with another guy?
He was with his son, who he was trying to reconcile with, evidently. And obviously, not the world's greatest dad, but part of the blowhard thing is explaining to people, even your own son who knows what a heinous individual you are, why you're not that person. You know, your whole life becomes convincing people you're somebody, which is great at a party. You know what I mean? They may think you invented the rotisserie. They may think that you're in Vietnam, but you can't really pull that crap off with your own wife or your son or whatever who know what a prick you are, you know? But this guy, but here's the thing. He said, his statement, he said, I love you, so I leave you, or something. It was some statement like that, but he said it 28 times. And that's what makes him the pure blowhard that he was. You know, he kept...
blowhard is going out. After about, they won't let anything in.
And repetition of the same thing. Right. Yeah. He kept saying, each time he said it as if he'd said it for the first time, and it was sort of a eureka-like discovery. I start tallying the number of times he was doing it.
Must have been a nice date for his wife.
Yeah,
must have been. He's like, honey, 29, 30, oh my God,
I became completely obsessed and realized, and then we got some young people that are listening to the show that want to be blowhards.
How did my mentioning my book cracked bring you into the blowhard?
I just
realm.
Thought of Drew blowing hard.
Come on.
I don't know. You're a white guy. You're not heavy set, but you're getting to the right age. Everyone listen to me. Yeah. I ironically blow hard about blowhards.
Yeah, all ironically.
Right. Sarah Rue, someone who does not blow hard and really has no danger of becoming a blowhard.
Females
can't.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
They can be like yentas. They can be gabby. They can be pains in the ass. They can be everything, but they can't really technically be blowhards.
Okay. Well,
it's
that's
like
good
you can't get testicular cancer.
Right.
You can't be a blowhard.
Right. Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm going to cross that off my worry list.
All right. I'm going to carb up, put some weight on, see if I can make my blowhard status by the end of the show. Sarah Rue here. Less than perfect. Name of the show. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sarah Rue is our guest tonight from Less Than Perfect. Tuesday nights, 9:30, ABC.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night, someone else from ABC, Bob Guinea, The Bachelor, is going to be
he's
here.
He's fun. You'll like him.
Yeah. Seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Not great?
No. He's very nice. He's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
He's lovely. We met in New York this year for the ABC Upfronts. ABC has all these parties, and they sort of invite everybody, and I hung out with a lot of the Bachelor crew. So, yeah, he's an interesting guy. You'll like him.
All right. Well, he's coming in here tomorrow night, and it's back to the phones. We go. We're going to speak. Yeah.
You like this. Look at this. See this?
Drew got a little pinchy. He's got a blood blister on the end of his finger.
No.
That's not a blood blister?
This was that...
Crack pipe?
No, yeah.
That's what happened.
This was that planter's wart I got from massaging my wife's feet. Remember I was complaining about that?
No, I don't remember that. But Drew.
Good husband.
Talk about the pee whipping.
Good husband.
Oh, my God.
Chris, shut up. Look, Chris, I'm totally cracking up with
you. Pee whip.
All right.
Pee whippy. That's your rap name.
Gave myself a shot.
All right, so hold on. You got a wart from massaging your wife's feet.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Give yourself a shot and burned it off.
What'd you give yourself a shot of?
Xylocaine.
Like, xylocaine. And burn off.
That was a pretty weird experience.
Use a cigarette?
No, I've got a thing in my office I can use.
You use?
Electric cautery.
Electric? Wow. Yeah. Nice.
But how about giving yourself a shot? I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, I like that. But you're talking to the guy who lanced
That's why I bring it up with
boils.
You. Yes.
Yeah. It, no, not boil.
Sarah with that.
I had a carbuncle on my ass once when I was 19 and lanced it myself.
You know what that
is? Yeah.
It's basically
one of those things that sounds like what
about,
it is.
It's
about 3 o'clock on the anal clock. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. No. Yeah. It was up in there, but not on.
And it's
there,
a giant, you know, large abscess.
Like really, sort of right on the.
Right there.
Head things in it. Yeah.
And they sometimes they're actually fistulas and things. His might have been.
No.
But
no.
Who knows?
No. It's
and
like
when
a
they
big zit.
And when they big.
Yeah. Big. It's big.
Yucky.
Yeah. Well.
I'm sorry, but ew.
Yeah, but what am I supposed to do?
Go to a doctor.
I didn't have a doctor until I was 31.
Go to an emergency room.
Well, describe what you did do.
Yeah, tell
me. But let me tell you this. All these holier than thouers who say, "Oh, go see your physician."
Well,
if you don't have insurance, you got to go to County USC. And okay. I don't know how other cities compare to LA, but I'm starting to realize that LA's
pretty bad.
Seems
yeah, yeah.
near the bottom for just about everything.
Yes.
It's just that dirty and the lines are long. And I have gone to County USC on occasion. And it's just you go there and you sit there for 7.5 hours while hobos vomit in their hats right next to you, and everyone gets seen before you do because you maybe you broke your ankle, maybe you got a pomegranate on your ass,
it's
but these
emergency.
People have hemorrhaging
right,
and
right,
stuff, you know, they were like stabbed.
I understand, but weren't you worried about infection and that sort of thing when not thinking that
well,
way?
Well, let him describe his procedure
okay,
to
sorry.
You.
Sorry,
but. You don't, I mean, you never, you see, now maybe I would. Now, even now I wouldn't because I'm over all that.
No, you'd ask your wife to do it now.
No. I would ask
no woman to do this kind of thing.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this wasn't easy to get to.
Okay, can you tell me?
Well, I had to use a mirror.
Quickly.
To find it. It wasn't easy. Don't close your eyes. Keep your eyes open. If you close them. I'm like, it's like Freddy Krueger. It's worse if you close your eyes.
Yeah, I was trying to picture the.
No, but keep your eyes open.
Okay,
keep
sorry.
Wide.
You
wide,
got it.
Wide open.
You bent right over. Bent over to a mirror, or you no, put your feet up.
I think I was on my back.
On your back
on
with
the,
your feet up.
Feet up. Yeah.
Against the bathroom mirror.
I was handheld. Probably
handheld
my stepmom's
so on the
handheld
floor of the bathroom.
Yeah,
handheld
I don't exactly one. All of
so
remember
one,
every detail.
One hand holds a mirror,
right?
And the other hand
holds
pin.
Got to lance it.
Lances. And what happened?
Explosion. It was great. I'd given birth, but it was huge. But it was the best day of my life.
My God. It and you felt satisfied afterwards.
Oh, my God. It's like, you know, you ever see the movie Tommy? It's like that part. I'm free, but, and he can see and he can hear again. He's just running on the beach, just throwing his hands up in the air. He's at the amusement
park. How do you think
park.
The Who would feel
he's
being
everywhere.
Compared to a big
That's
boil
what it was
on.
Like.
Spell the name right.
If anyone has ever seen the movie Tommy, I'll tell you, when Roger Daltrey finally was unburdened of the chains of being deaf, dumb, and blind, that's where I was. I was seeing people running. They joined me. They were singing, too. It was amazing. Running down the street. It was like old Dr. Pepper commercial. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Wow.
Drew, I wish you could have been there, buddy.
I've lived it so many times with you. I wish you could have been there.
I don't, but thank you.
All
thank
right,
you.
All right. It's, you know,
no,
I
but maybe
share.
Next time you can call.
It was an important day. It was an important day.
Don't even.
No. Thanks, Drew, for looking out for me. Drew's like, don't say that.
Carolyn?
Hello?
Carolyn?
You're 22?
There you
yeah,
are.
What's up?
Oh, I was just wondering, I've been on birth control for like 2.5 years or so,
yeah.
And within the last year, I've noticed my desire to have sex has greatly decreased.
Decreased.
And I'm wondering if it has to do with the birth control pill.
It sure can. Which one are you on?
Ortho-tricycline.
Yeah, that can either, they all can do one or the other, and it's extremely unpredictable for which one's going to do what for which women. In fact, usually the triphasic will increase sexual desire, but I've talked to women for whom it has suppressed things. So you may want to go on, you may want me, you know, it's, I don't know where you go from here necessarily, that I would stay away from the progesterone, basically, because I think that is what tends to decrease, more likely to decrease the sex drive, though some women have an increase.
What about the patch?
Patch would be fine, you know, but again, that has progesterone in it. You may want to, you may want to start with something just basic, like plain old-fashioned orthonovum, something like that.
Okay.
Okay.
And then if I thought about maybe just using condoms or doing something like that.
Sure, sure.
Is there like more of a chance of getting pregnant, like when
there is? Yeah, I mean, the birth control pill is really the most effective thing you can use, but you can always keep that morning after pill around. That will increase the protection a little bit, or you can add a second barrier like a sponge or diaphragm, something like that.
Yeah. Hey, but good times, though, right?
Yeah, but good times, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times, you're thinking about your I'm free.
Oh, man.
Yeah, good times.
That was huge. And then it happened once again later in life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good times.
I was 29 at the time. Mm. I'll never forget the day. Like, people say, you remember where you were for the birth of your child, or when you asked to marry your wife, or JFK got shot or something like that, or September 11th. For me, it's the carbuncle on the ass.
The second one.
Second one, too. I remember. See, here's the problem with the carbuncle on the ass. It is a novelty dagger in your side, in the sense that
when
it's just as painful as any horrible, legitimate physical ailment, and everyone just laughs their ass off when they hear my ass is on fire. Like, I remember telling my boss, I was working as a boxing coach at a gym at the time, and I called him. I said, Bruce, I can't. I got this. It's like a carbuncle on me. He's just laughing. Stay home. He's laughing. Hung the phone up, you know. And by the way, if you want to lie, if you want to get out of something, pick something humiliating. It's humiliating, right, but you'll never be questioned.
It's entertaining.
Yeah, you do that. Like, you try to do that. I'm not feeling so good. I think I got a head cold. Yeah, I'm going to go, liar.
Right.
You do like, I got a festering boil on my rectum. And they're like, yeah, Bill, okay, all right, stay. Hey, take a week off. So anyway, I remember me and Jimmy went out to El Torito and celebrated with Mexican food shortly after it blew.
The second one.
Yeah, second one.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's the most amazing thing, because it goes from excruciating and nagging to gone as soon as it gets
really
lanced.
There's no, it's just
no,
it just
residual
explodes.
Pow.
And then it's,
well, it can be,
you feel good. I'm free.
Special that way.
Picture Tommy. All right. Let's talk to Chelsea. Chelsea?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I don't know how to say it, but I got really drunk one night with a bunch of friends, and I think I was seriously taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Means somebody had sex with you?
Yeah.
One person?
Yeah.
At least one person. Do you have any recollection of what happened? None. So how do you know, what's the clues? What's the evidence?
Videos, I guess you could say. Like, well, when I got to school on Monday, first of all, I OD'd that night, and I got put in a psych ward for 3 days. I got put on a 5150.
Mm-hmm. What'd you OD on?
5 Vicodin, 15 Motrin, tequila, ecstasy, and alcohol.
What's like a 15 Motrin do for you?
Not much.
I don't know. It was just there.
Whatever. So it was when you were under the influence of all that you were raped?
Right.
Okay. You need to call the doctor back who had you in the hospital and report this.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the videotape part?
Well, some people have told me that they got videos of me having sex with more than one guy.
Fantastic. Those guys will all be... You can get all of them then. Yeah.
Via what, the internet?
Just sold at school.
Sold.
Well, listen, again, you've got to get the people involved in taking care of you. This is you already have enough on your plate dealing with your depression and maybe your substance history. Let's go back to the support you have and talk to them about this and let them guide you through this.
I get in trouble at all for the whole drinking thing, though?
No.
No, they already knew you'd been drinking.
They knew, I mean,
right? You were in the hospital for alcohol abuse.
No, I know, but like if the school finds out and like police and all that.
No. Because here's the whole thing.
No, you're the victim. Don't.
Yeah, everything, it's like, this is all trumped. by what these guys did. Your minor offense will be trumped 10 times over by the rapist's offense.
Plus, theoretically, you are participating in treatment for what's leading to your substance use mm-hmm. and your depression and some of the behavioral problems. If you were rejecting treatment, then, yeah, you could get in trouble because they need to find a way to get you to involve yourself in your treatment.
Okay.
If you're just sincerely involved in treatment, following directions, then, look, you have an illness that's being taken care of, and that's all they can ask for.
You weren't trying to commit suicide or anything, were you?
Yeah, that's the thing. I was.
Oh, you were.
Like, afterwards, my mom called, and she's like, you have to come home, and so I did, and then I took the Motrin and Vicodin when I got home. But I called.
Oh, well, so you weren't on the, okay, but you weren't on the Vicodin when these guys raped you.
No, I was on, like,
ecstasy. Yeah, alcohol and ecstasy.
Oh, all right.
First time you tried to commit suicide?
Yes.
Really? Drew says no. I don't. Is that? Hold on. Is 15 Motrin an attempt? It doesn't seem like a real attempt to commit suicide.
I didn't know what would work and what wouldn't. I just had a bottle of it for my headaches.
You've never impulsively tried to hurt yourself before?
No. I'm afraid of needles and razors and stuff, so I wouldn't.
Yeah. Whereas Chelsea's never tried to attempt suicide before. Drew's been wrong multiple times. So who are we going to believe here?
All right.
Now quiet down. Chelsea.
Yeah.
All right. You got to get some help.
Okay.
You can have a good life. It's not that big a deal.
Right.
You know, I mean, just it doesn't even take that much work. It's just like you don't just stop trying to stick yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, just don't burn so many calories effing up your life, and you'll have a pretty good life just by virtue of the fact that your life's not effed up through your own hands.
She has to be a trauma survivor, though.
All right. Were you any sexual abuse or physical abuse growing up?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No.
What went wrong?
My parents don't even know that I might have been raped, I guess you could say.
But what's up? Eating disorder?
Yeah.
You have an eating disorder?
I don't eat.
Well, Dr. Drew, 0-for-1, Ace Carolla with the carbuncle. 1-0.
Something really big, much bigger going on.
All right, so Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, throw yourself on the mercy of everyone who knows, everyone who's older than you, who's not trying to have sex with you. You know what I mean? Therapists, doctors, all that stuff, your parents. Okay? You have perfectionist parents?
Yeah.
Right.
I
know what it's like to live under that pressure.
Hmm.
It's tough, Drew. You don't know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
The Corollas. You know where they are.
Those are perfectionists.
You've met my parents.
Yeah, they seem very uptight.
Yeah, I'm going to ride my motorcycle to go clean some carpet for the rest of my life. Yeah, all right. Your stepmom like you out of the garage. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough living up to that, you know? If they have the... Oh, Drew, you don't know what it's like. Your dad's a doctor.
You're right.
You don't know what it's like. All right. Sarah Rue here, everybody. Yeah, less than perfect coming out. Well, the premiere was last Tuesday, and then this Tuesday. That's how it goes. See, let me tell you something how it works. The premiere, people, they're blowing the dust off. Nothing personal, but it takes a while to get back in the swing of things. The second one, that's where they hit their peak. That their prime. That's really the premiere.
So
that's why
I
look at the premiere.
This is the one you want to get.
This is the one you make because then it starts dropping off.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good episode this week too. Will Sasso, you know Will Sasso from Mad TV.
Mad TV.
He's joined the cast this year and he's so funny. And this episode focuses on him and it's great.
He's a big, burly, funny guy.
He is a funny mofo.
We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Bob Guinea, The Bachelor, is in here tomorrow night. Sarah Rue is in here tonight from Less Than Perfect, ABC, Tuesday nights, 9:30. And let me show you what I did here, Drew. And I would like everyone just to sort of take charge of their life.
All right, got it. Velcro on the little cell phone.
I'll tell you why.
With the inbox full, I'll have you note.
It's only been that way for 3 months.
Yeah, true. There's 487 messages here. Oh,
listen, I
can't get over that part.
I don't want people contacting me.
All right, Velcro. You've glued Velcro onto the back of your cell phone.
I epoxied it on.
Do you have Velcro in your car?
No, I don't. But let me show you. Like, and I'll show you what goes on. I do have cloth seats in some of my cars, and they do grab. It grabs. Here's what's going on. And if anybody who manufactures products or we have any ergonomic experts listening who perhaps in college, here's what I want. We're too slick, we're too sleek, we're too smooth now. Mm-hmm. The if you get one of those iPods, one of those iMac, iPod, whatever things, there's not a ridge, there's not a corner on them. Everything is just liquid mercury. Everything is just Look at this phone. It's like they made it in a wind tunnel. Every corner is broken. Everything is buffed. Everything is polished. Everything is made out of, like, polished stainless steel. And nothing stays anywhere. You put it in your pocket. Now, you got a purse, right?
Yeah.
See, for guys, this is no good. You put it in your pocket. If you're wearing sweatpants or something, you sit in your car. Everything pours out onto the seat. The clickers this way, pagers this way, cell phones this way, all sorts of Walkman, any kind of listening devices. Everything is smooth and sleek,
thus,
and nothing has any grab.
The car seat gutter.
The seat gutter, but that's going to take longer. That's still in the R&D phase.
Yes, we need a short-term stopgap measure.
I have had my cell phone slide out of my sweatpants so many times and kick it onto the pavement, and just even just holding it, trying to get a grip on, trying to flip
it's like,
it.
It's like landing a fish.
Yeah, what about that part? Yeah, that pole part where you're reaching for a pen and you're tucking the cell phone beneath your cheek and your shoulder.
It's like holding a bass there.
Yeah, it's like trying to talk into a bass's ass while it's slithering around on you. No. This is big. And watch this, Drew. Now let me watch this. Watch.
I got to try the shoulder thing.
And I'm putting it in my sweatpants now. And watch me pull it. Look, it's grabbed onto the inner pocket. I can't get it off.
You're gonna rip all that apart.
Wow, look at that. That is huge. That's huge. And Drew, is it? You're getting it? Yeah, you got it. There's some grab on there. Yeah. I just want some. Now here's what I'm saying. In the 70s, it was all about non-skid. We're putting those sticky daisies everywhere that had the sand in them, the skateboards. Everything was non-skid. Now everything is sleek and smooth. I don't like it. I like non-skid, and that's what I'm going to do to my world. Sarah, has this inspired you at all?
This is good radio, man.
This is. Well, listen, if I can get just one person who's listening to the show to glue some Velcro on the back of their telephone.
Then you've done something good in the world. Is that sort of how you...
And I'm not talking about both sides of the Velcro. Just the part, the the male part, or whatever that is.
You'd say he's repeated this Velcro story many times.
Sort of like a what? We didn't say
boring that. Bit. All right, true. Here it is. Velcro on the back of the phone. All right. And, by the way, a lot of people with the same model of phones. Which one's my phone? The one with the Velcro on it.
But
thank
then if
you.
Really everybody follows you, then everyone will be the one with the Velcro on it.
Okay.
So that's a flaw in your plan.
It's interesting.
Different colors.
Color-coded Velcro. Thank you. Let's talk to Jennifer. She's 22. Jennifer?
Hello?
What's up?
Kind of a stupid question. When me and my boyfriend are having anal sex, I always feel like I'm going to crap on him, and I was just wondering if I can do anything to stop that urge.
Classy. Stop the urge?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's an urge that can be stopped.
She means
Maybe if she stops
Turn your radio
anal
down, would you, before I crap on you?
Yeah. Sarah's got an idea.
Yeah, if you stop having anal sex, you probably won't feel like crapping on him anymore.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right.
Oh, well, of course.
Duh.
Jennifer, what do you do for a living?
I deliver papers.
Deliver what?
Deliver newspapers.
Oh.
Papers. Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Drives around, flip papers out.
You mean you actually have a paper route?
Yeah.
Do you have a mini bike with the two sacks that hang off the bars, or what are you doing in a car?
Yeah, I do in a car. I have like 300 papers a night.
Oh, that's got to suck. And you got to fold them, right?
Yeah.
And you have to put the inserts in them?
How does she even have time for anal sex?
There's always time for anal. I don't know if you've seen that commercial.
Three-year-old.
Wow.
You have a three-year-old.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I have one more question. It's a serious question. Can I say it?
Yeah. We're expecting bogus, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm pregnant right now.
Yeah,
that's
great.
And having anal sex, that's good.
Sure. Yeah, with all the money pouring in from the paper route, I can see why you'd want to have the family grow just a little bit.
Go ahead, yeah.
And I've been cramping really bad, right?
So I went cramping.
To the hospital. Yeah, cramping. So I went to the hospital, and they said that there's nothing really wrong.
Right.
Except for they think it's moving around. So my question is, how long until it stops doing that?
How far along are you?
You want to hope that the child doesn't stop moving around.
I meant, like, cramping.
Right.
You're a month and a half pregnant?
Month and a half.
They said it was because the child was moving around?
No, the little sack or whatever is moving around, trying to find a place.
No.
It hasn't planted or something.
Were you bleeding?
No.
Is this the same husband of the two children?
No.
How dare you, Adam? Now, that's a funny question.
I know it sounds mathematically impossible, but I see three guys in this mix.
Three?
Yeah, well, listen, what's wrong with you? Why, you're 22. You have a goddamn paper route. Why are you getting pregnant again?
Hey, my paper route pays good.
Yeah, pays good.
Well, not as good as you guys, but I work 20 hours a week and make about $1,400 a month.
Holy yes. Really?
Really?
20 hours a week?
20 hours a week.
Wait, there's a couple of BJs mixed in there, though, right? Right?
No.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. Certainly not. The cramping actually is kind of serious if you're having that in the first trimester, especially if you get any bleeding, you go back immediately. I'm a little concerned about what it was they saw there. Don't know exactly what it was. A lot of things can cause cramping in the first trimester, and it's not a good sign.
All right, we got to take a break. I got something to say about the newspaper routes.
Okay.
As any good blowhard would, but I'm fired up about this.
Also, she needs to do enemas before she's with her boyfriend, and I'm not sure that's a great thing activity to be in when you're
while
pregnant.
While you're
pregnant.
All right, Sarah Rue in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. There, buddy. It's Loveline. Turn that down. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Sarah Rue is our guest tonight. She's from Less Than Perfect. Tuesday nights, ABC, 9:30. Speaking of ABC, Bob Guinea will be in here tomorrow night. He is the new Bachelor. And he'll
did you guys
here
watch the
night.
First episode of Bachelor?
No, I saw the last... Well, let's see. I saw The Bachelor, and then I think I saw about half of The Bachelorette, and then I saw part of the first episode of The Bachelor. But I get uncomfortable when they have to kick people off.
Oh, really? That's the good part.
I know, but it's uncomfortable to me to see these people have to, like...
Waiting with hope in their
waiting,
hearts.
Waiting, and...
Did you see the twins?
No.
That's what I... There were twins on this new Bachelor.
Really?
Yeah, but they got kicked off. Neither one of them was picked.
Hmm. Well, yeah, if you're going to boot one, you got to boot the other.
Right,
or the one you booted would not kill herself.
The whole point is to have, like, sexy twin action in the jacuzzi. And it's not going to happen with both of them. I guess it's just not worth it. I really enjoyed the first episode of The Bachelor this year, I have to say.
It's,
I'm really excited.
It's compelling, but it's just uncomfortable when they, especially when they're giving those testimonials, like just before they get booted, where the chick's going, like,
I
love him. And I know this sounds crazy, and I've only known him for a couple of days now, but I really feel a strong chemistry between us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, hit the road, hussy.
But that's so cool.
And then
like,
they're obviously.
Because they're obviously.
See, women,
kooky.
She's a woman. She likes that.
Yeah, but
she likes to see her own punished.
I mean, I liked it when the men were also kicked off. Maybe I'm just mean spirited.
But exploiting and taking advantage of the most sensitive people, the ones who really don't have good boundaries.
But they put themselves in that position.
Can't help their feelings, though. Their feelings that
they're fine, but they also know when they signed up to do the show that there was a possibility that they weren't going to be ultimately the one.
Mm.
I don't know. I think it makes for good TV.
It is. It does make for good TV. But again... It becomes too. It's why I can't watch any of those red carpet interviews in front of the Emmys or the Oscars. It's just so much. It just feels my skin crawls when I see one. I don't know, someone from Entertainment Tonight talking to one of the gals from Sex and the City about what they've done with their hair. It just it crawls. It just drips of insincerity.
Yeah.
It's so unreal. That it's uncomfortable. I have to change it. And this is, I don't know what this is, but it's the same feeling.
See, what I find interesting is that you're able to take these calls, and some of them are really sad and really tragic, you know? But you're not able to watch The Bachelor because you feel bad for these women.
Yes, yes.
I think it's really interesting.
It is.
That's something you should examine.
And why? And
I really do.
And why I can't watch Bob go and kiss Kim Cattrall's ass on the red carpet either. I find that amazingly uncomfortable.
Odd. It's very odd.
Turn around.
But why do you
go,
care?
Girl.
But that's what I kind of find interesting. It's like, how can you.
But that's why we do care. We do care. And they're being treated as complete
objects.
Complete object. No one's caring about them or guiding them or referring them or anything, just laughing at them and exploiting them and sending them on their way. At least
you tell them to go get help.
We're trying to help them understand what they're doing. Adam may make fun of them, but we're trying to make them understand what makes them do the things
I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just telling you, I get massively uncomfortable watching
Bob
Guinea hand out the flowers and Bob Cohen hand out the compliments. Yes.
We're trying to dig past the headline into what's more real, even.
Right.
They don't even know what's real.
I'm going to turn it to something good. Yeah. I really, this is, you know, making fun of junkies is not uncomfortable for me. I don't know why. Emily?
Hi.
You get sharp cramps?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's funny. See?
Yeah, it's hysterical, I know.
Yeah. All right. I'm not uncomfortable.
Well, what it is like, I probably shouldn't even be complaining because I'm lucky enough to have multiple orgasms, but, you know, we'll just keep going and going because it's, you know, obviously you're not going to stop. But then afterwards, when I'm trying to go to sleep, it's like they're so bad. I mean, like, I know why I'm cramping and because there's a lot of action happening down there, but I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to...
Where does the pain go?
Well, it's like uterine cramps, like, you know, where all the contractions are.
Does it radiate, the pain?
Not really. I mean, it's sort of...
It stays in your abdomen, your pelvis.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't go down your legs or into your...
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
And you have no urinary symptoms?
Not really. I mean, after a lot of sex, it'll hurt.
Well, how long are you guys humping? How long are you guys humping for?
The longest ever was probably about 2 hours, I guess. I mean,
I'm not really looking for your personal best. I'm really just saying in general.
In general,
I mean, like as a as a doctor, you go, how often do you have a bowel movement? One time in Mexico. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm looking for an average here. I'm not your personal best. This. I know you're one time someone slipped me some roofies and my boyfriend was on Viagra and he banged the bejesus out of me for 14 hours straight. Right, but I'm looking for the average here. Emily?
Yes.
Yeah, average.
Okay, I would say an average of like an hour straight.
All right. So average. maybe I ought to cut it a little, first off.
That's a little rough.
Yeah. Maybe cut it a little bit shorter, would you?
Keep it down around 20 minutes or so.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Now, here's what I'm saying. In every other facet of life, you know when to stop, except for sex.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're playing hoop or you're playing some sports or you're running or you're doing anything that exerts energy, you will stop. You will go, and it's different places for different people, obviously, depending on what kind of shape you're in. But you'll get to a point where you go, well, I need to take a break
here.
Well,
forget fatigue. You twist your ankle, pull a muscle, start getting a cramp.
Right.
You stop.
You pull up. You get a little stitch in your side. Yeah. You pull up. You sit down.
Nah,
you drink some water.
Nah.
Sex, you'll just push on through.
You'll play through the pain.
Yeah.
Right.
As they say.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so you're doing damage, and you don't even really know it because the adrenaline's pumping and the endorphins are flowing and whatever else is going on. And you're loaded. Let's face it. Most of you are drunk when you're having sex. Let's be honest. All right. I know what I wanted to talk about, papers when I came back.
We were talking about that chick had
that paper route earlier, and this is more just blowhard stuff.
Yeah, of course.
I knew many a kid who had a paper route when I was a kid. Back in the day. I never had a paper route. I used to help all of them, ironically, on their paper routes. But, yeah, it's a horrible job. You get up at, like, 4:30 in the morning. You're folding newspapers and putting these inserts in them and then throw them around. And then you got to collect. And the collection part is just... First off, people that get the newspaper are pricks, by and large. Old, cheap pricks. That's basically it. It's basically the clientele.
It's Sarah and me. That's good.
You guys get the newspaper?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Like you said,
I get the Sunday New York Times, and I don't take an everyday paper.
See, if you took every day,
I got too frustrated with the LA Times.
You would be horrible. You would be horrible. Drew,
know,
you'd be like Drew.
It's expensive.
And then what happens is then when it comes time to pay, when the poor kid, you got some 11-year-old coming around to collect, and now we try to chisel them. I didn't get last Wednesday's got wet because it was in the sprinkler. Mm-hmm. You know, they try to work now. You owe $7.14 to the 11-year-old who's getting up at 4:30. You're going to try to work him down. Is that a horrible impulse?
Yes.
That sucks.
Yes.
Like, here's the whole thing. I don't mind being cheap. I can't stand it when some waiter, some shishi restaurant thinks he's got more attitude than his clientele and shoots you the stink eye and wants his $80 for giving you your soup and it takes him 40 minutes. I don't care about that guy. But the guy's on his knees who's cleaning your rims at the car wash. And Here's what I'd like to say. I bet you a lot of people tip really well at a nice restaurant, but only give the car wash guy a buck or two when they pick up their $50,000 car. This guy's on his knees all day working for minimum wage out in the hot sun. These guys need the tip, not the half a fag wannabe actor who's shooting your attitude. The guy with the bangs and the mock turtleneck. That guy. Not that guy. All right. Paperboard. Pick the poor people and give them money.
Give them money.
Don't give the rich people. Don't give the hot bartender chick who's 23, ton of money, still living at home and has a boyfriend who's sugar daddying her already. She don't need your tip. Give it to the Mexican who's down on his knees cleaning your hubcap.
Am I right? You are right.
Thank you.
Tonight, Adam, you are cracking Chris's S up like never before. All the references to poo and Mexicans seem to be the thing that really get him.
Well, we talked while you were on the road.
Would you?
Yeah.
You mentioned that.
And I said, Engineer Chris, what do you want more? Well, I mean, what do you think's missing from the show? You're a young man.
Yeah.
You're in our demographic. He said, making fun of the Mexicans and championing their cause simultaneously has to be in a witty way and more poo, poo,
and fart.
Verbatim,
and fart.
He said poo, 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 and poo. That's what he said. So
he seems like the gas humor too.
I think that falls under the poo.
Yeah.
It falls under the umbrella of poo.
Yeah.
All right. So where are we?
Six.
Yeah. Let's talk to.
Does Sarah remind you of any actress?
Why?
From the past.
Days
insulting?
From
no,
the 40s
no,
or from
the
our
70s.
Show?
No. 70s, 80s.
Seventies, eighties.
She's younger, way younger, but just somehow reminds.
Right, but Sarah.
Let it go on. Let's see if it comes. Yeah.
Christina, I'm so focused on poo and Mexican jokes.
I know.
That's
why I thought I'd change the topic a little bit. But.
Christina,
does anybody say anybody?
Yeah.
Well, I get people randomly, but okay. I don't see it at all.
Okay.
The only person I've ever gotten is Drew Barrymore, and I think
that's because
we both have a lisp.
No.
Yeah. Well, you guys look a little.
We get it.
Different people. Different people. Yeah.
I mean, you get that Lucille Ball stuff, the red hair and the sense of humor.
Okay.
All right.
Christina.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking red hair.
No, not red hair.
All right. Joanne Worley.
What's up, Christina?
Oh.
You're 18?
Ruth Buzzard.
Oh.
No.
Oh, Jesus. So I will cry.
No.
I will leave and
no,
cry.
No,
okay,
please,
go.
You'll like this one.
Go ahead, Christina.
Well, I have a question for you. I'm 18, and I no longer am turned on by sex in any way. I've just been turned off by it in all general.
You had a pretty good run.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Study.
Yeah, you're 18.
Go to college.
Done.
Says
you're
here
okay.
You have a girlfriend.
Yes, I do.
How long have you had a girlfriend for?
A year and 2 months now.
One of the really interesting little secrets amongst lesbians, and my lesbian friends confirm this, is that it's very frequent for lesbian couples to stop having sex after about 6 months.
Mm-hmm. That's about when it stopped.
That's about when it stopped?
Yeah.
And it's not even, I don't know what it is exactly. It's like you still are intimate, you still love your girlfriend, and you still have sort of a physical intimacy, but sex isn't part of it anymore. Does that describe your relationship or no?
Yes and no. Like
yes and no.
She still wants to have sex, but I'm turned off by it. Like, but at the same time, I wouldn't mind getting myself off to
you're lesbian.
Orgasm.
And we know, Drew. But here, okay, a couple things. I'm going to have to say this. First off, Senior Poo. It's a good one, right, Chris? Senior Poo. All right. Secondly, most people, like, here's the deal. Most of the gays and most of the lesbians, or not most, but most, are that way because someone fiddled with them. So they're screwed up in the first place, and they're bound to have screwed up relationships. No one else will say this, by the way, but
that's
not fair. It's true.
Okay.
It's true.
But
they've never been physically or mentally abused.
Okay. Thanks for crapping on my point.
You weren't sexually abused.
No, I've had the best lifestyle. My parents have been behind me the whole way.
No, but like
a good growing up.
Hang on, but when
you had a good lifestyle.
When you were in like kindergarten or anything, you never had anything with people your own age doing funky stuff to you.
No, I would, at a young age, I became sexual with girls.
How old were you?
Second grade.
Okay. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's a little weird.
No, that's...
I became sexual with girls
you were
in the second grade?
Christina, by another girl is what happened.
But I was the one with the girls that let it on.
That's your perception of what happened, or there was more trauma going on in your home than you realized.
Well,
that's really how that happens.
Early bloomer. What about your girlfriend?
She's 23, and she's had a good lifestyle, I would say, too.
She has.
Good homes, good money, like, everything's been perfect.
Hang on a second.
All right.
But you're both your biological parents?
I'm with my mother and my stepfather, but my father and stepmother are still around, same with her.
What happened with your original biological parents?
They divorced in second grade.
Okay, when you started acting out, was there some aggression in the home or something?
Not that I recognize, no. Not that I remember. I remember them breaking up, but it wasn't a big ordeal. Okay. My parents always made a point for me to be with my father on weekends and stuff like that. It was a big point to still have a family.
I understand that's your perception of it, but I guarantee you there was more going on here than you realize. Either that or you were victimized by one of your peers.
Well, and
those are the options. That's it. That's what makes second graders do that kind of thing. No, it doesn't. It's not. Oh, she was just a sexual person. No, well,
no.
It doesn't happen like that. 8-year-olds do not act out sexually unless there's something going on or they're victimized. That's it. Period.
Well, look. Here's the point. Is 2 minutes ago was a fairy tale for her childhood, then their parents are divorced, and
magically,
she was very sexually active when she was 8 or 9 years old. But it still doesn't mean she was necessarily wholesalely abused.
No.
But I am still sticking with my many of these relationships. One or the other partner had some form of abuse. And that makes it harder to maintain a relationship, any kind of relationship. If you take a heterosexual relationship where the woman was sexually abused by her father, it's going to be hell to have that relationship normal, unless the woman's, tons of therapy.
Tons
and
of
same
therapy,
with the guy, if the guy was abused by his uncle.
Right.
It's hard for 18 and 19-year-olds to have relationships any way you slice it, and then when you start mixing this into the Cuisinart of crap, it really gets difficult.
Again, if you want to get a little glimpse of what happens from trauma, read my book, because people underestimate the effect on trauma on the human brain and thereby their relationships later on.
All right. Well, anyway, Christina.
About not being sexual with her girlfriend now. But don't you think, maybe the best thing to do is to not worry about it so much and just to concentrate on having, a loving, committed relationship and kiss and cuddle and not worry about it?
I that's sort of what I opened with, but she said her friend's not happy with that.
Girlfriend. She did? Oh, I did.
Yeah, they've been a year and a half together, 1 year with no sex.
Oh.
And the girlfriend's getting annoyed.
Also, by the way, everybody, you can just get busy once, twice a week. I mean, you really think about...
Not when you're a trauma survivor, though.
Okay, quiet down. If you think about what you do in life that you don't want to do, if you're a fairly successful person, it seems like about 85% of your life is stuff you don't really feel like doing, but you do it, everything from flossing your teeth to getting up in the morning and going to work. You can get down on your girlfriend and go to work for 15, 20 minutes a week just to keep her edge off, and that's fine. You got once in a while, you got to lick the fiddler, right, Drew?
That's what I always say.
Yeah. All right. Let me talk to Christina one more time. Christina?
Uh-huh.
What if you just got busy with her just a couple times a week? Could you do that?
I couldn't. I'm turned off by it.
Are you on medication, Christina? Christina, are you on medicine?
No medication. No.
Okay.
No,
all right. Well, I think it's time for you guys to break up then.
Ouch.
Well,
is there anything else I can do?
Therapy.
I mean, you're turned off by her, and you haven't been turned on by her in many a month.
Not uncommon for lesbian couples.
And you're 18, yeah. And listen, yeah, for lesbians, I mean, see, when guys get together, they're banging the bejesus out of each other,
and then
banging the friend and the pool boy and the gardener. They never stop banging.
It's
two guys.
No, it's true.
Two
that's
guys.
What they, if you stand in front of the book section for gay and lesbian relationships, then the male part is how to deal with cheating. The whole thing is about how do you deal with cheating. So
right, and the women, it's how not to. It's cuddling. It's all about. It's all.
Examine the girl's part.
But look at it this way. You got a guy and a girl in a relationship. We have a heterosexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The guy wants to do the humping. The girl wants to do the cuddling. Doesn't mean the women don't want to do a little humping themselves. But by and large, 70% of the time, the guy's pushing the hump along. The girls are pushing the cuddle along. All right. So now you take two guys and you put them in a relationship. That's hump on hump. That's two humps. You understand?
It's just hump on.
Right, I hear you.
That's hump on. two chicks, that's cuddle on. Doesn't mean they don't like to get it on, too, but that's the cuddle on. That's all right.
Priorities are different.
Yeah.
Priorities are different.
That's fine. No, no. Charlotte?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my boyfriend thinks I'm stupid.
What do you mean?
Well, because I wear, like, high heels and...
Hold on a second.
We're going to time this.
You're also wondering, it sort of puts an interesting spin on his attitude.
We heard the smoke detector.
Did you hear that?
Chirp, yeah.
You'll listen in a second.
Okay, I'll get it in a minute.
Yeah.
All right, now they usually go about 30 to 35 seconds. Charlotte?
Yeah.
Sweetie, we need you to stay where you are.
Okay.
And don't talk for a second.
And don't move around. Just listen for the chirp.
Hold on now.
It should be coming up.
Sometimes they go up to 50, though.
Well, I'll wait it out.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's the crickets?
No.
Don't move, sweetie.
There it goes. You hear that?
Okay.
Hear it?
That was right in a minute. Now, you've been moving.
You moved away from it.
It wasn't quite as loud.
Uh-huh.
Move toward the smoke detector,
wherever
please.
You were when you started talking to us, go back to that position.
And we're not talking about emotionally. We don't need you to go to that place. Where were you when we first spoke to you? What room were you in?
I really can't go back there. I have to go this direction.
Go back to where you were, or I will hang up on you.
Somebody might hear me talk.
We won't talk. We won't say
go
anything.
Back.
We're
Come
just,
on.
We just want to listen to the ambient
Five
noise.
Five seconds.
Of the
it's going to go.
Go back.
There it goes.
Okay, that was much more satisfying. Did you hear it?
Yeah, right. But what I...
Smoke detector. Low battery.
Low battery. In
the That's
detector.
The chirp it makes. Okay.
The chirp of the Loveline caller.
All right. It's 39 seconds I'm getting. So we should get our next one at about 19. Drew, actually 18 or 19.
19 on that?
Yeah. Charlotte, sweetie. Again, no talking necessary. Going to need you to get back to the original room.
Okay.
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 But when you actually want to talk to us, we'll switch rooms in
Hold
a second.
On. It's coming. Three, two, one, go. Now, you heard the beginning of
yes,
it before
it
the
out.
Phone started
yes,
to cut out.
Yes, I heard it.
All right. All right. So, now, Charlotte, you can leave the room now that we've successfully paced your smoke detector. It was about a 38.5-second smoke detector. It was a little high. They're usually somewhere in the 30 to 35 range. Mm-hmm. Charlotte.
Yeah.
And why the phone? And by the way, this happened when you were out of town a few weeks ago, kissing the ass of the Olsen twins. But I had it timed, and the phone cut in
each time
for 1 second during when I said now.
Wow.
And this time, by the way,
it started to go out.
It cut the beep in half.
Yeah.
Is that bizarre or what?
Yeah. I think some of that phone thing is when sound begins, it cuts out.
No.
All right.
That's retarded. Sorry. Charlotte?
I notice it cuts when they start talking a lot of times.
No, it just seems that way. Charlotte?
Uh-huh.
See?
She's starting to talk.
Oh, shut up, Drew. You're like a suspicious native. Like, the volcano went off. What was I doing? I was defecating while the volcano went off. I'll never defecate again. That's poo humor, Chris.
Wait, Charlotte. Charlotte?
Yeah.
No, she's...
Charlotte?
No, the phone is cut out.
Aww.
Seriously?
Hello?
Well, no, it's doing the temporary crap it's been doing the whole time.
All right, Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's hear your question. Now, you can go into the room where you can talk to us. What's the question?
Well, my boyfriend thinks I'm stupid.
Why?
Because, I guess, I don't know. I think, really, my question is love important to men? Love?
Yes.
Like real love?
Yes.
We
yeah.
When they're older.
We have to love to bang you.
When they're not under
no,
the influence
that's what I mean.
Of...
That's what
oh,
I mean.
I see.
It's
a priority, not...
Sex
secondary.
Is a... depends on the guys.
Now, how old is your boyfriend?
He's 27.
27.
He should be getting
to that point where it becomes something that he's interested
really,
in.
I don't have a boyfriend.
You have guys... Just, you're.
That.
What do you have? Nothing?
I don't have a boyfriend.
Okay, well, that's good. Let's put our cards on the table and talk about your smoke detector for just 1 second. What room was that in? Was that your bedroom?
No, the kitchen.
That's the kitchen. All right. That's slightly more acceptable. Oftentimes it's in the bedroom, and oftentimes it's been going off for months.
Or
while the
year.
People sleep in that bedroom. There, and there it goes again.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about replacing the battery?
Does it mean it's dead?
Yeah, that's what that chirping means.
If a guy is calling you stupid, you should probably break up with him.
No, she doesn't have a boyfriend. She made the whole thing
up. Well, in general. Now, how
she
long,
made the whole thing up?
How long has that thing been going? How long has that been going off, Charlotte, the smoke detector?
I don't know, but Drew sounds really, really cute. Why are you acting stupid like that?
He is hot. All right, now the thing's going to go off. Go back into the kitchen. Just let me hear it one more time.
Okay.
Three, two, one. There we go. All right, that's all I needed.
Very satisfying.
Do you realize that an alarmingly high, speaking of smoke alarm, percentage of people that call this show have the smoke detector chirping in the background?
Shocking.
And it's in their bedroom.
And when we talked to them about it, they have no idea. Remember her first question was, did you hear the crickets?
Right.
No idea what's going on. And let me say this. First off, it would drive a reptile insane. If you had a garter snake in an aquarium in the room that had that smoke detector chirping every 30 seconds, it would eat its own tail and kill itself.
Yeah.
Not these people. And when I'm in charge, I will track these people down and I will sterilize them because I will not let them have children.
It speaks volumes about the power of the human brain to screen out. Does it not?
Yeah. I don't know if you want to use power and brain in the same sentence with people who can't hear their smoke detector going off. That's just flat stupidity. And everyone.
But what's funny is her made-up question was, my boyfriend thinks I'm stupid.
He's right. They're all right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Go. Go, Drew. Oh, come on. Go, Drew.
My kids are IZ. It's always like my kids are.
Oh, shut
it's
up.
It's always like Drew. Wazoom.
Go.
Wazoom, zoom, z.
All right.
I was looking for the words.
I know. You're looking for the words. You know the words. Just do it. You've done it three times in a row without the words.
Andy Dick didn't have the thing, and he did it great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He went zazoom, zazaza, zuzaza.
Yeah. He was giving a recipe for gazpacho. It was actually just a pure coincidence that it sounded like the words.
Ain't a land of dick in the hizzy.
Sarah Rue on tonight from the same show. Andy Dick is on, although I bet she gets paid more. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Why shouldn't she get paid more?
It's my show.
It is your show.
Yeah.
Of course you get paid more.
I work a little harder than Andy Dick, but don't tell him I said so.
A little bi flunky. He doesn't deserve anything. I'm going to tell him, too.
Yeah, you let him know for me.
You deserve 10 times as much
as
him.
Listen, my working relationship is going quite well with Andy Dick. I don't want to rock the boat.
He'll just leave at this point.
I love
him. He was a little quiet this last week, wasn't he? I was thinking that.
He told me that he was quiet. He told me that he came in and that he really felt like you guys had it covered and what advice could he possibly offer. So then that's why he told me not to talk too much.
He's developing judgment.
Well, I think, too,
his recovery's going along.
He was singing, too.
Yes.
And I think he was a little bit focused on thinking about his music.
Did he perform one of the songs for you? Was it the butt song?
Could have probably involved the ass. Yeah.
Sharing is good, but not when it's with needles, because then the only thing positive
is AIDS
your
song.
HIV test.
Right.
And the doctor swears.
Well, he sang four songs for us.
Oh.
Yeah.
My favorite one is the ass smells better than your,
Oh, really?
No, that's not Brown Ring. Brown Ring goes like little brown ring.
Yeah, he sang that for us.
Oh, he did? Yes, I like that one. but no, this one is about how the singer's girlfriend's butt smells better than her vagina.
Nice.
Yeah,
yes,
we like that one. That he played that one on a morning show a couple weeks ago. Didn't go over so well.
I asked him to
play that on my wedding, actually. acoustically, because I thought it wouldn't be tasteful if we plugged in the
amp. Have you seen him sock his band members when they don't perform properly?
Yeah, I mean, I go to all Andy's shows.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. I'm supportive.
Oh, no, you
My favorite is when that other guy throws up in Andy's mouth. Oh. Have you seen that?
No, I've not
seen it. Oh, it's hot.
What?
It's really hot. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he has his sponsor, quote unquote, and he does this bit where his sponsor's drunk and he throws up in his mouth because he opens his mouth to like yell at him and...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's appetizing. Watch.
It's funny.
Though. Yeah, it's funny. It's,
all right. Well, it's good
time. Performance art. It's good times. Yeah.
Jenna?
Good times.
Yes, hi.
You're,
Take it off.
You're 15.
What's up, Jenna?
Yeah. I'm 16. Oh, my gosh, you guys. I just want to say I love you guys so much. You give me so much information that I just can't ask my friends about.
Oh, thanks. Excellent.
What's going on?
Okay, I like this guy I've known for about 4 years, and I've liked him on and off. And the other day, I finally got up the courage to tell him that, and he was really psyched and said that, oh, well, I like you too, kind of thing. And
wow.
Then,
Wait, hold on a second. After how long?
4 years.
Four years.
What's been going on during those 4 years?
Oh, we met at this, like, Christian camp thing, and... It's been kind of crazy since then, but he's gone out with a couple of my friends. And
what does that mean, it's been crazy since then? I don't know.
It's never been kind of the right time for me to tell him.
Because why?
Because he's had other girlfriends, or I've had other boyfriends. And,
how old is he now?
A lot of action for people who met at the Christian camp.
How old is he now?
17.
All right. What's
so
the question?
Now he's free and you're free?
Yeah.
So you told him.
Mm-hmm. And he then started asking me all these questions about, you know, how far I've been with guys and things like that. And I'm still really innocent with that. And
great. Excellent.
Good.
Keep it that way.
Yeah, I intend to. But he's was really pressuring me about different stuff, like, you know, have you had oral sex, and or have you given it? And
wait, this is before you've gone out with him?
Yes.
Yeah.
They've known
each other for a while.
Yeah, but this is him sort of taking an inventory before he decides. What
well,
he's
guys are take. Great, but he was enthusiastic about you, right?
Yeah.
And then what? Did he want anything from you?
Well, he was talking about how. Well, I know that he has a few other girls that like him, and. He's not, like, the player kind of guy. He's always been really quiet and kind of distant from a lot of girls.
Yeah, those guys are never the player.
Yeah.
The brooding.
Yeah.
Guy. Yeah,
it's like the serial killers. He's quiet. He kept to himself. Yes. Polite.
Same.
Could never
Same
be
guy.
The guy.
Same guy, interesting.
No, the guys who do it are the gregarious, outgoing ones. Those are the killers.
Oh, I know, exactly. But
all right, well, it's just I love guys. Guys are great, too, because you wonder, what's wrong with this story? They've known each other for 4 years.
Right,
they've been around each other. He's had other girlfriends.
Never been the right time.
He's never actually tried to lower the boom on her.
Yeah.
And, Sarah, you play the part of 16-year-old Jenna asking me out. It's great, too.
Okay. You ready?
This is 17-year-old Adam. You and Adam met at the Christian camp 4 years ago.
Wait a minute. What's the guy's name, Jenna?
I don't really want to say because I know.
Give us a name. That'll work.
It's going to take 20 minutes. Watch.
Trevor.
Good. Okay. That's good.
That's a perfect name.
Yeah, well done.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, you're Jenna.
Trevor?
Hey, Janet.
Hey.
Jenna.
Hey,
it's
Jenna.
Jenna, actually. That's okay. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Listen, I was just, I don't know mm-hmm. if you sort of, but like whatever, like the past couple years, I was just thinking you seem cool. And mm-hmm. like, I know that you dated Jill for a while, but now you guys are done. And
she was hot.
I mean, I just kind of think you're a cool guy. And I was kind of wondering if you think I don't know.
I think you're cool, too.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it would make you cooler if you gave me a handy. You know?
Oh.
Is that something you're into? What have you done?
Well, I mean,
I'm into you.
You are?
Yeah, but I'd like to be more into you, and it'd be easier for me to be more into you if, you know, my dork was into your mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how Jesus would feel about that.
Oh, he's cool.
Really?
He's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, because I saw this claymated show at like 4:30 in the morning with this dog and this other guy. And whatever it was, I just remember walking away from it thinking it's cool.
Okay.
So that's cool. So we can start dating if if your interpretation of dating is you know, give me a handy in my truck. Okay, cool. Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
All right. Jenna?
Yes. Do you know what? That's exactly pretty much how...
Thank you. Of course. I know, Wes.
It's hard, Jenna. Like, that's a hard situation for you. I bet you were like, I don't know what to say. Because on one hand, here's this guy you really like, and so you don't want to, like, miss an opportunity. But then on the other hand, you kind of feel icky about it, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I'm not that goody-goody Christian, but I mean, I have morals, and I like to.
Well, good for you.
What you're supposed to say is he wasn't that big of an a-hole. But if he was that big of an a-hole, anybody standing back and listen to that interaction would go, Jenna, run.
I know. Yeah, my friends are telling me that.
This guy's a mistake.
A huge mistake.
Yes.
You're great.
You sound awesome. I think you can do so much better. You just sound like such a cool girl. I think you can aim higher.
And I know you're really into him because everyone else is into him, and there's some heat and all that.
I don't know him from like his friends. Like, we met kind of separately, and I've known him for a while, and I've seen a lot of his good side. And
I know, but listen, you've seen the side of him that's mildly interested in you at best, and that is alluring to you. Find some nice guy who's into you.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. And girls, I know it goes against your nature oftentimes, but you better start getting used to it. It's a better life being with people that want to be with you in a sincere way.
Think how awful it is she has to say, yeah, that's Trevor. Adam, good job. That was Trevor.
That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what we say. We love guys. We love men.
I deserve some praise for my portrayal of a 17-year-old Trevor, though.
Done.
Thank you.
I, on the other hand, was too goody-goody.
You were solid, Jenna.
Really?
That's how he was able to play Trevor so well. He had a good Jenna to work on.
Thanks, guys.
Perfect. Yeah. Cool. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Maybe we'll get on that show. You know, it's been a while. Less than perfect. A little guest casting.
Yeah, come on. I have my acting debut coming up now in May.
You've seen my range. It's Trevor.
I was really impressed.
I was.
We take place in a news station.
Trevor.
You know, you guys could play anchors. You know,
or we could do appearances and stuff. We could be coming to town like we did at Dawson's Creek. You know.
Oh yeah.
No, that would.
True. Sure, you're real. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Sarah Rue is here. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew asked me 10 seconds before we went on the air, did you see that movie, What a Girl Wants, with Amanda Bynes? Are you kidding? I was camped out. Remember that hobo urinated on me because I was out front of Grauman's 4 days before it came out? No, I missed that one, Drew. Is that the one where the 17-year-old falls in love with the guy who mysteriously does not want oral like all the other 17-year-olds?
We have the same director directed that as the one that Olsen Twins did.
All right.
There was going to be a story, but that
did you
happen.
See What a Girl Wants?
Listen, you see everything.
I don't.
You seem to.
Not in the theaters.
The airplane. That was on a plane.
Drew thinks everything he sees because he has kids, other people see.
In French, I watched that movie on a plane.
I remember when he was telling me some character from Thomas the Tank Engine about 6 years ago, and I was like, I don't know who Artie the Caboose is. And he's like, huh? It's on at noon during the day. Please. All right, Sarah Rue, everybody. It's true that whatever your world is what it's everyone kids, else's yeah. world has become. Let's. And by the way, it angers me, speaking on this topic, when you tell somebody, hey, this is a really good movie, and they go, oh, no, never did see that movie. Like, found out Jimmy hasn't seen the Shawshank Redemption, for instance. And he will see the movie. But once in a while, there'll be some movie that you really think is a quality movie. It's a really good movie. Good, and you'll go, oh, you never seen the, you never saw Goodfellas, huh? No, never did. Oh, you should get that, boy. You're going to love that. You like action, like gangster stuff, right? Yeah. You need to see that. And then you talk to him like a month later, and you go, you seen that Goodfellas? And I'm like, nah, I haven't got it. And you go, you really should take some time and see this movie. This is a real good movie. And then after about the 12th time you ask him and 2 years goes by, you start getting violently angry toward the person, and you realize this is more of an F-U than it is, I don't feel like seeing the Goodfellas. It is an attack. Well, it is a blatant attack.
That is so narcissistic.
I've been trying
Everything that happens to other people is directly aimed at you.
I've been trying to get my carpenter buddy, Gary, to watch.
Gary has been living in your damn house, building the damn thing every second of every day.
To get Road Warrior.
Oh.
He likes action movies. I can get that Road Warrior. 3 years I've been telling that putz to get it. He won't do it. Slap in the face,
bro. In his
case,
he's tired of responding to your orders.
Slap in the face. Tony?
Hi.
Ooh.
Did you see Goodfellas, Drew?
Yeah.
Thank you. Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're cool. All right. Tony's phone is cut out, or our phone is cut out, which is fine with me, because just from Tony's high, I realized I didn't want to talk to him. I just, no, that's how I am. Uh-oh. Tony?
Yeah.
All right, buddy, what's your problem?
All right, cool. First of all, I just want to say you guys are great. I love your show.
Thank you.
Like, it's another source for education for me. You guys make it fun, though.
Thanks, buddy. I turned the corner on this, Tony. What's your problem?
All right, well, I think it was like a few weeks ago. I had fingered my girlfriend for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never really done that before. And I felt like some kind of like a lump I don't know what it's supposed to feel like down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel something that I figured shouldn't be there because it was an inconsistency in the tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And I was concerned. I was thinking maybe, you know, it could be something serious or I don't know.
Tony, given you have the trained touch, maybe you ought to try explaining what it was you felt again.
Okay. It was like a little lump, I would say.
Where, though?
Was it way inside?
Yeah, it was inside.
That's her cervix.
No, I don't think I was in that deep.
Oh, you don't have to go in that deep in somewhere. It can be right there.
That's right. Oftentimes on the outside. Yes,
you feel. You sort of flick something, a lump, at the end of the tip of your finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is...
And that's normal.
This is one of the dangers of teenage finger blasting.
Is what?
Is first off, these guys, they're not gynecologists.
Really? They're not?
No. Then for them, it's a grab bag of organs in there. They're just reaching their hand up, running into stuff. They're confused.
Why do they even...
I think they're surprised that there's anything in there.
Right. Why are they even...
I expected those foam packing peanuts the first time I went up there. That was really what I was expecting.
You thought they'd be some popping? You're looking to pop the peanuts?
Oh, true. You don't pop the peanuts. You pop
the peanuts. Oh, yeah, the bubbles. The bubbles you pop. Oh, yeah, that's right.
True. How dare you? And I understand Sarah feels that when you make those kind of jokes.
You said the bubbles, the peanuts.
I said, okay.
I thought you guys were going to pop something else. I didn't.
No.
That was fine. Peanuts,
sorry.
Whatever.
Serena?
Yeah?
16.
Hello?
Yeah, you're 16. We're having a lot of difficulty on a nightly basis with the phones
Anderson,
going down.
Like 50% of the time. Yeah, 50% of the time we're not hearing the caller, I'd say. So go ahead, Serena, what's up?
But see, I would argue that 50% of the time we are hearing the caller,
yes,
Drew. You
Mr.
see?
Optimism.
Go ahead, Serena.
Okay, so you can hear me, right?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Well, I'm 16, and like about 2 months ago, I met a 22-year-old at my work. And, like, we just, like, started hanging out a lot, and, well, like, one night we ended up having sex and all that, and we just, like, been, like, really close, but, like, we've been, like, boyfriend and girlfriend pretty much. Mm-hmm. And, like, we've just been dating, but every time I ask him out, he turns me down, and he always says that he, like, doesn't want to get his heart broken and because of his past relationships and stuff.
Oh, my
like
God,
that.
Serena.
All right, little reenactment.
All right, go ahead. You're
Wait,
Serena.
We got to find out what the guy's name is.
Whoop, wrong line. Wrong
Oops,
line.
Sorry, I pressed that. Oh, man's name up, sir.
Serena?
Serena.
Yeah?
What's this chap's name?
Daniel.
Daniel. All right. Now listen carefully. Adam's going to play Daniel.
He's 22?
Yeah.
All right. Each time you ask him out, he says no. He doesn't want to get his heart broken.
And Sarah will play Serena.
Okay. Like, Daniel?
Yeah.
Remember when we, like, did it?
Yeah, Sonia, that was hot.
Serena, but whatever. That was cool.
Yeah.
So what are you doing on Friday? Do you want to, like, maybe go to the movies?
Friday's TiVo night.
It's funny. I thought the point of TiVo was, like, to not...
This guy's a little smoother. This guy's a little smoother than Trevor.
Sorry,
this is not Trevor. This is Daniel.
All right. Let's try it again.
This guy is having sex with
Sonia. Let's try it again.
He wants to keep that going, right?
Okay, you're right.
We're going to pick it up from the Friday bit.
Okay.
Hey, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing on Friday?
Sorry, sweetness. Friday's TiVo night. Okay.
Wow.
You're sweet to ask.
Really?
Sweet to ask.
It's just, yeah. It's just like, you know, we never hang out in public and yeah. like...
Hey, if you want to come by and like... give me a little handy or something. No, no, I mean, no, this I can guy, rock no, no, your
this
world.
Guy, this guy is... No, you're asking me on a date. I told you, I have my heart broken. I have a heart broken.
I know. Yeah. I'm getting to that. Come on, Drew. I'm getting to that. Go ahead.
I mean, I'll come by and whatever. I just thought it'd be fun if maybe we did something else. Like,
do you remember that Rod Stewart song, The First Cut is the Deepest?
No, I was two when that came out.
Okay, well, what Rod, or Rodney, as I call him, was singing about was a guy had his heart broke.
Yeah.
And once you get your heart broke, sweetie, you don't just put it back together with spit and crazy glue. You know what I mean? Now, if you want to come by and spend time, and I'm talking about quality time with me, that's one thing. But if you just want to parade all over town and put me in a vulnerable position, like where I'm not getting sucked off, well, then we can't do. Then your seed can find no purchase here.
Oh,
I think
okay.
I better play Daniel. All right, go ahead. Let's go.
Go.
Okay. But anyway, I just thought like a couple of my friends are going to go maybe check out the
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah?
When?
Friday.
Oh, Friday. No, you know, I got to do some stuff on Saturday morning early. I don't think that's going to work.
Oh, okay.
Well, and, you know, we talked about this. It is so hard for me because my last girlfriend, I started going out with her right away and yeah. we kept going out and... I told you what happened with that.
I know, really... but like I told you that like my feelings for you are true, and I would
see. That's what I'm talking about. See, I told you don't get like that.
That's do dueling, Daniel. That's how the last one started.
Right, but like I mean, you can't say
can't
we're
risk
the same
it.
Person.
Can't risk it. Sorry, but anyway, if you want to come over with like some Lubriderm or something, that'd be cool.
Both Daniels agree on that one.
Serena.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't like this guy. We don't trust this
we
guy.
We hate him.
I know the more...
I dislike both of them, Serena.
The more unavailable he is, the more attractive he is to you. But no more sex with him and break
magically,
it off.
Magically, he'll go that's away it. When you stop the sex.
Yes.
That's your taste test right
All
here.
Right. We'll take a little break. I'll be back with Dr. Daniel and Sarah Rue after this. Sarah Rue, everybody.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Come back anytime. Less than
I
perfect.
Will.
She lives
Tuesday
right
nights.
The corner.
ABC.
I do.
Bought us a bottle of booze, and I'm going to drink mine before I get home.
That's a good point.
Well, no, on the way home.
Okay.
Well, that really kicks in as
right.
I pull
so
in the garage.
Highway Patrol will call for City PD.
Someone hand
Keep
Adam a
open.
Straw. It'll be fine.
All right. I got a long jag going about booze, but it's really the perfect gift, and that's why sober people anger me, because you can't get them booze.
Well, I asked before I came in. Because I'm always worried that I'm going
to
break someone's like 10-year sobriety.
Just wrote a book about this.
All right. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Yucky. I'm sorry, but ew.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.